Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying your summer. It has certainly been a hot summer. I think I'm not sure where I ever stood on global warming, but certainly this summer has been a very hot summer. And with the heat comes baseball. And I was driving the other day, and I was listening to my Sirius XM radio, and I have a MLB, Major League Baseball channel, and I was listening to that. And I heard one of the announcers who was on there named Matt Diaz. And I thought to myself, that's the same Matt Diaz that I did an interview with. And I know that Matt is a Christian. And I thought that maybe he might say something that would be a hint that he was a Christian. But I listened for a long time. And as they do on secular radio, they really don't allow you to get into any of that. But Matt Diaz is a guy that I met in the New York Yankees dugout. Actually, we did it in the New York Yankees locker room. And talk about a zoo. I remember that. We were in Tampa, I believe, where the Yankees were in spring training. And had a chance to meet Matt Diaz at his locker. And this was one of the more unique interviews, I guess. And it was kind of a short interview because we were surrounded by all kinds of media. And we were surrounded just a few feet away by people who you might recognize more as Yankees players, like Derek Jeter and Alex Gonzalez. And at the time, I think maybe C.C. Sabathia. I'm not sure he was there then. But a lot of the well-known Yankee players were there. And Matt and I were kind of backed against some lockers, and it was really kind of a tough interview, to be quite honest with you. But Matt is a solid Christian, and Matt is one who, along with his wife, has dedicated his life to knowing Jesus. And I'm really glad for guys that can move from baseball into the broadcast booth. Now, Matt had an interesting spring training that year. That was 2013. And I'm not sure exactly when we did the interview, but I know that by the time the interview had aired in before the end of spring training, that Matt had been released by the Yankees. So he did this spring training, and he didn't even make the team. But he did get picked up by the Miami Marlins, and he played for a little while with the Miami Marlins. And then less than a year after he and I did this interview in the Yankees locker room, he announced his retirement. But I thought about Matt Diaz, and I thought about the fact that, you know, I'm going to go back and dig into the archives, find out exactly when it was we did this interview, and it turned out we did this interview in March of 2013. That's been 5 years ago. But, you know, your Christian testimony doesn't change. Now, when we're talking on the air here, when we're talking in the interview, you're going to realize that we're talking a little bit about where he was in 2013 and some of the things that he had accomplished. But Matt is Christian testimony never changes, and he's now doing some witnessing, if you will, on MLB.com. Now, he might not be doing it on the air, but I know that his Christian testimony stands out. And from being a part of the media, I know that there is a number of areas in the broadcast media where people have Jesus Christ in their life. And if anybody needs to know Jesus Christ, well, we all do because we're all sinners. But the media sometimes doesn't have a lot of Christian representation. So I'm glad for guys like Matt Diaz. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, you'll hear the rather short interview that we did with Matt Diaz. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, we're here with Matt Diaz, who is an outfielder trying to make the team with the New York Yankees, a long career. And Matt, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit. You were drafted in 1999 by Tampa Bay, but it hasn't been an easy road for you. Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Atlanta, Pittsburgh. Atlanta, now the Yankees. Perseverance seems to be the key to your life. Tell me a little bit about just what it takes to keep hanging on in the majors and to go with the good times and the bad.
Yeah, whenever I speak places, I always put it this way. Baseball is actually a pretty easy place once you realize you're supposed to be playing. Because once you've prayerfully considered playing, if you're supposed to be playing that year, you have very little say on where you're going to play that year. So all the way up through the minor leagues, it was real easy as a Christian to try to control the controllables. And I saw a lot of my friends get caught up with trying to control things that were out of their reach. And with my faith, I was able to just turn things over to God that were His. And it wasn't always easy to do, but I always had a good support system around me reminding me that I'm not the one in control and I'm not the one making the final decision. So it was a long road. There was a lot of perseverance, but I can't say all that came from just me.
It seems like there's been two sections to your career as I look. The first section would be like the Tampa Bay and the Kansas City section, and then the Atlanta section. Was there something happened in Atlanta that kind of turned things around?
Well, my first day in spring training with the Braves, Bobby Cox came up, introduced himself to me, and said, "I've seen video of you. You can really help our team." And that just sparked a confidence in me that I belonged in the big leagues. And I set out to prove him right. And having someone believe in you really, really helps.
You had a big day in Atlanta. There was one time down there where you had 10 consecutive hits. I read where you thought, "I'll never get into the record book," but you are in the record book, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of players run away from the term streaky, but since I have one of the most consecutive hit streaks in the history of the game or in the National League, I have to embrace that I was streaky, and that was a hot streak, and it was just one of those things where everything fell right. I hit a few balls really good, but I also got a few broken bat hits here and there mixed in those 10 hits, but it was one of those streaks, one of those moments in my life that I'll never forget.
I also saw where you got to Tampa Bay in 2003, and you got to play in the Major Leagues, and then you ended up going all the way back down again. That had to be pretty tough.
It was. I was called up due to a major injury to one of the outfielders, so I figured I had more time to prove myself than I did. But after nine at bats, the big league coaches in Tampa Bay felt like they had seen enough, so they sent me back down and did not call me back up that year when the rosters expanded in September. And that was probably the harder part, as they told me to go down and have a good month of August, and they'd call me back up in September. I had a great month of August, and they didn't call me back up. And that was one of those moments where I really had to remind myself that my identity was not found as a baseball player, but it was found as a Christian and as a follower of Christ. And as a follower of Christ, I couldn't go out and badmouth the organization and the media. I couldn't say some things that I had thought, and I had to honestly submit my thoughts and really change the way, or else I would have never made it back with the Rays the next year. I would have just been bitter. So that offseason was an offseason of growth for me, and it really led to a depth in my marriage. My wife helped me through some of that bitterness and stuff that I didn't have before. So even when those things that you perceive as negative things happen to you, they tend to work out for the best in the long run.
How tough is it to be a Christian in a major league clubhouse?
It's probably, there are different aspects of it. It's easier than it used to be in the sense that, there's been old school managers who have said, I don't want Christians on my team. And that's been a tough road to hoe. A lot of Christian baseball players back in the day were known as being soft players. And, in this game, there's a time to be hard. There's a time to break up a double play. There's a time to knock over a catcher. And if you feel called to play baseball, you're to do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. And if Jesus were watching me, I think he'd want me to take out the second baseman. So, I don't do it dirtily, but I play the game hard. And once you earn that respect and they realize you're not going to play the game namby-pamby-ish, you're not one of the quote-unquote soft Christians, it's not as hard as you would think.
Yeah, I've in this show, I've had a chance to talk to a couple of guys. I think about Mike Matheny. I think about Joe Girardi. I think about guys like that. And certainly they don't get much tougher than those guys.
No, those guys are tough as nails, and they ran through the big leagues before I got here and kind of helped. They were the group that kind of changed that reputation. John Smoltz, he might have beaned some people in the back in the name of God. No, I don't know. I don't know, but he was a tough pitcher and tough guy. Those guys. So following those guys up, they paved the way and made it a lot easier for Christians like myself to be accepted amongst the guys and be kind of in the world but not of the world.
Now, you talk about John Smoltz. When you were in the Atlanta clubhouse, you were with guys like John Smoltz and Glavine and Chipper Jones, Bobby Cox, Hall of Famers all the way around. And is there a different level? Did you have a chance to relate to those guys on a pretty good level?
It's really funny. Like day one or two, when you meet those guys, you realize these are, you know, you watch them on TV. You know, me growing up in the South, and then you meet them, and they're just guys who love baseball. And it was once you relate to them on that level, that you're a guy who loves baseball, and they're a guy who loves baseball. The quote unquote idol worship or hero worship goes out the window, and you can just be teammates and coworkers with them.
Our guest is Matty Diaz, and he's with the New York Yankees now. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Matt Diaz, the outfielder for the New York Yankees, who has played for a number of teams. And Matt, of course, one of the things that the reason that we're here is because Jesus Christ is the center of your life. When did Christ come into your life?
Well, I like to say it this way, and theologically it's probably not the most sound explanation, but I accepted Christ as my Savior at 13 at a big conference. They presented a very good case for heaven good, hell bad. So I was like, yes, I want to be saved from hell. And but when I was 19 and in college, I really hit my knees in my room, and really made Him Lord and Savior of my life. And that's when the growth started happening. That's when all that, you know, I grew up in the home of a preacher. My dad's a minister, and so I had a good solid basis. But it wasn't until I was at Florida State University, where there was temptations everywhere, till I had to make the decision for myself. And every day I'm very grateful that God led me to my knees that night when I was 19 years old.
I think I saw somewhere where it was a real change in your life when you got to Class A Utica, where you were really was that true? You were at Utica?
I was in Hudson Valley. We played in places like Utica, and it was just one of those summers where everything went wrong, you know, in my baseball career. I had never experienced failure of any kind. In high school, I played varsity high school as an eighth grader. In college, as a freshman, I was freshman player of the year in the entire nation. So baseball, I made the adjustment at every level I went to. I get to professional ball, and I'm hitting 240 with zero home runs. I hit one finally at the end of the summer, and it was just one of those things where that was a time in my life again where I had to realize I had put too much of my identity in me as a ball player, and that's not who I am. That's what I do.
Your mom and dad both very strong Christians, very strong athletes. In fact, I heard your mom was a missionary and also a good athlete.
Yeah, mom grew up in Nigeria and Africa with the SIM, Sudan Interior Mission, and she grew up over there. Moved back to the States, went to Penn, played field hockey there. Also was on the basketball team, didn't end up playing. And my dad played football at Penn. Up there in Philadelphia. It's one of those weird things where they're very proud to have gone to Penn, but when I was choosing a school, they told me I was not to think about Penn. I think maybe it was a little too far away, maybe a little too worldly of a school, but I ended up at Florida State, so it doesn't get a whole lot more worldly than that.
Let me talk about your brother, Johnny Diaz, who is a Christian recording artist. Are there similarities in the careers of the two of you, and do you compare notes?
We do. My second runaround into the big leagues, we went to Texas, and he was recording his very first CD with some of his friends from high school and college. And just watching him since then, it's kind of like, you know, the minor leagues, just plugging away, playing any gig that'll give you a mic, not even money, just playing. I remember I watched him, and I think it was in 2008, I watched him play locally back home in Florida at a concert, and there was about 14 people in the gymnasium. And then the next year, he had the number one song in the nation, More Beautiful You. So it was just one of those things where, you know, they called him an overnight success with the More Beautiful You. But I had watched him since 2004 just plug away and plug away and plug away. So it was a lot of hard work to become that overnight success, and he's still at it. I'm really excited. He's got a new independent album coming up, and he does it. I feel like he does his best writing, his best mixing, and his stuff when he's independent, because he can really just throw down on the track what God lays on him.
You certainly have a great look at life, and even as you're in the running to get a spot here with the New York Yankees outfielder, every day, how does Christ fit into your life every day as you live your life in this sort of a spotlight?
You know, this spring's a little different for me. This is the first spring in 7 or 8 years where I've had to make a team out of camp. And the hits have not been falling. I've been hitting the ball fine. My swing feels fine. I'm finally healthy. The hips haven't been falling. But, again, I'm doing a better job in my life than I ever have of controlling what I can control. And that's where God can really just come in and give me a sense of peace in my life. And I would encourage your listeners, whatever walk of life they're in, when you're done controlling what you control, you can control what God's given you authority over. Once you control that part, just let the rest go, and the stress will leave your life immediately.
I certainly appreciate the time that you've given us today. I know we're right in the middle of spring training and right here in the middle of the season, or right here in the middle of you getting ready for the season. But I'd like to close this way. What is a favorite verse? And I think I know what it is because I think you got it on your arm.
I do. If I don't say it, I'll regret getting a tattoo years ago. But I have Philippians 1:6 tattooed on my arm, and it's being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And it's a peaceful verse. If he began the work in you, he's going to be the one to finish it. It's not up to me to finish it. It's up to me to follow him until it's finished.
Matt Diaz, it's been great meeting you and having a chance to talk to you. Good luck, and hope to see you in a Yankees uniform.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks so much.
All right. Matt Diaz of the New York Yankees. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Matt. That was crazy. But you know, one of the things that has just been really good is the fact that when I get a chance to be in a locker room, and I don't know how many times I've been in a Yankees locker room, but I know at least that one time it was completely different. And this was spring training, so I can't imagine what it's like during the season or even during the postseason. But you get a chance to meet a lot of different people, you get a chance to meet a lot of different players, and you get a chance to be in a lot of different situations. Living close to Cincinnati, one of the things that I've had a chance to do is to be in the Reds locker room, and it's a little bit different. Some of the some of the teams that are struggling a little bit, and some of the teams that don't have quite the high-pressure media, it's a little more relaxed. And I've been in the Cincinnati clubhouse, I've been in the Milwaukee Brewers clubhouse, and been in a few others where it's just a little bit more relaxed, and that's a little bit more fun. But Matt was a player that got a chance to experience the majors. As you heard, he was drafted by Tampa Bay in the 1999 draft, played for Tampa, played for Kansas City, played for Atlanta, played for the Pirates briefly, and then went back to Atlanta, then played for the Yankees, and actually never actually played for the Yankees. He was released by the Yankees in March of 2013, and then also played just a very little bit with the Miami Marlins. But one of the things about Matt that I really like is the fact that he is a born-again Christian, and he's very vocal about it. In fact, if you go to his Wikipedia site, now this doesn't happen everywhere, but if you go to this Wikipedia site, it mentions the fact that he is a born-again Christian. His wife is Leslie. They have three kids, Nathan, Anna, and Matthew. And he also has a brother, Johnny Diaz, who's a contemporary Christian singer. And so Matt, I don't know if Matt sings or not, but Matt certainly, with his family, has spread the talent around. And there's one quote that's on Wikipedia, which I thought was interesting. And it says this: Matt never got a chance to be an everyday player. And, you know, a lot of people in the majors or in sports, they want to get that big contract. They want to make more money. They want to try to get as much money as they can. And Matt said a lot of people would think about the money they're not making if they don't play every day, but we all make enough money. Have you ever heard a baseball player or any athlete, for that matter, who's making a lot of money? And the minimum wage, I believe, if you make the majors, the minimum wage, I think now, is $500,000 a year, prorated. So that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? If you're if you're the 25th or 26th player on a major league team and you're making $500,000 a year prorated, you're probably doing all right. So we appreciate Matt Diaz, and maybe someday I'll get a chance to catch up with him and we can do a little longer interview as he's on MLB.com. And I think it's Channel 89, if you're on Sirius XM and you listen. I think it's Matt, and I'm not sure what the name of his partner is that's on there, but there's two of them. And they talk baseball for hours, which is something that I would like to do, talk baseball for hours. Speaking of baseball, we are very close to putting together Our Christian All-Star team, the All-Star game this year is in Washington, the home of the Washington Nationals. And, of course, it's the American League versus the National League. And we're going to have some representation from face-to-face there. One of the players that will be there most certainly because he's leading the National League in hitting is Scooter Gennett. And we've talked about Scooter a number of times on this show. And we appreciate the fact that Scooter is one of those guys, and again, even on the Reds broadcast, which I listen to a lot, or on a Major League broadcast, which I listen to once in a while, you're never going to hear about the fact that Scooter Gennett is an outstanding Christian ball player. And I don't mean just somebody that's accepted Christ. When I talked to Scooter about it's been less than a year ago in the Cincinnati Reds dugout, he said it was the greatest moment of his life. And that includes the fact that he hit 4 home runs in one game on June the 6th of last year. That includes the fact that he's had a number of walk-off home runs, which have given him the Gatorade shower bath. And I've seen the excitement on his face. But I love the way this guy plays, and it's just obvious that he has Jesus Christ at the center of his life. Now, one thing that he told me was he went to a Pro Athletes Outreach Conference, I think in 2013, and did not go real willingly, but he had a teammate at the time named Jeff Bianchi who paid for him to go. And while he was there, he heard the gospel. He accepted Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, and he got baptized. And from that moment on, he has dedicated himself to being the best Christian that he can be by staying in the Word, by praying. His wife, who I believe his name is Kelsey, she has accepted Christ. And again, face-to-face is one of the only ways that you'll ever hear about that. So we pray that you will pray for us. We pray that you will help us so that we can continue on. And we have a lot of different players that are going to be featured on our face-to-face All-Star team. One player that we're going to be doing an interview with a little later on in the summer, who may not make the All-Star team, but he's playing, I think, every day, is Nick Hundley, who is the catcher for the San Francisco Giants. And the bullpen coach for the San Francisco Giants is our friend Matt Hergis. And there's just a lot of players out there that we've had a chance to talk to over the years. In fact, as I watch teams play, guys like Ben Zobrist, who will probably be on the All-Star team, who's playing for the Tampa Bay Rays, just a number of different guys. Michael Lorenzen from the Cincinnati Reds, just players all over the place who know Jesus Christ. And unless you listen to face-to-face, you're just not going to know about it because they just don't talk about it on the secular media. And by the way, if you want to help continue to keep face-to-face going, go to our webpage at face-to-faceradio.com. If you haven't already been there, it's face-to-faceradio.com, just like it sounds. And there's a place on there where you can make a donation. And we hope that you will take advantage of that. Click on there. You can send us a very secure donation. And face-to-face will continue on. Our ministry continues to be strong with a number of different players. And you'll get the chance to hear what Jesus Christ is doing in clubhouses, locker rooms, all over the place. Every week we try to bring you a different athlete so that you'll understand and know what Jesus Christ is doing. Well, as we close today, I'd like to take you to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. I'm going to read two verses. What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I see God working in many, many, many ways, and I hope you do too. I hope that if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that today. Just simply ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to take that blood that was on the cross from Jesus Christ that has cleansed your sins, and ask him to come into your life just like he did with Matt Diaz, and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hope that you'll do that. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll be right back.